Hall & Wilcox acknowledges the traditional custodians of the lands on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to all First Nations people joining us today.
Hello, welcome back to our Equity Capital Markets podcast series focusing on all things ECM. Today, we're talking about the proposed changes to the wholesale client or sophisticated investor tests. To talk about what they are, what they mean, I'm joined by Vanessa Murphy, a partner in our Sydney corporate team. Welcome back, Vanessa.
John.
So let's start with, so what are these tests used for? Why are they so important?
So the wholesale client and the sophisticated investor tests under the Corporations Act are very important in terms of the way that capital raising can occur. And also the way that financial services more generally can be provided to sort of specific categories of client. So where an investor is a wholesale client or a sophisticated investor, depending on whether the product that they're looking to invest in is is shares in a company or is a different financial product, such as interests in a managed investment scheme, the level of disclosure and the consumer protections that are afforded to them will depend on whether they are retail or wholesale and sophisticated.
Yeah.
So at the moment, to raise capital from investors that are wholesale or sophisticated clients, there are disclosure exemptions that apply. And so companies or registered schemes or unregistered schemes have the benefit of being able to rely on those disclosure exemptions and other protections that are given to those investors under the financial services laws also don't have to be provided to wholesale clients or sophisticated investors. Yep. So it's much easier to raise capital from wholesale clients or sophisticated investors, and you don't need to go through sort of all of the same regulatory rigor to provide them with a financial service.
So the theory is the more money you have to invest, the more you should know what you're doing.
Exactly. Yep. You don't get the same protections if you move one of these tests and go over the thresholds.
So I think these tests have stayed the same for a long time, which is probably a clue to my next question. So why are the regulators looking at this now?
So they have been the same since 2001, these thresholds. And there are a few different ways that an investor can be classified as a wholesale client or a sophisticated investor. And those are through various tests. There's five of them, one of which is a subjective test that goes to their level of experience in using financial services and products. Mm-hmm. And the others are more objective. So in particular, there's a product value test where the value of the product that somebody is looking to acquire determines whether or not they're wholesale or retail. There's an individual wealth test, which applies to a person's net assets or income from the last few years. And then there's also other professional investor tests that apply to things like AFSL holders and superannuation funds. So the reason that these are being looked at now is that Treasury instigated a review mid last year into the regulatory framework for managed investment schemes. And there's since then been a parliamentary inquiry into the wholesale and sophisticated investor tests specifically. So Treasury's review of the MIS framework didn't just focus on the wholesale client test. It focused on other areas of MIS regulation as well. But a key part of it, and probably the issue that the industry has been most interested in, has been the wholesale client test.
Yeah.
And by increasing the wholesale client test, there's inevitably going to have to be the equivalent increases to the sophisticated investor test, which ASIC recognised in their response to the consultation that Treasury put forward as well.
Yeah. So the tests have been the same, have stayed unchanged for 23 years. I would imagine there's a fair bit of data now as to how those tests are working in practice.
And that was something that Treasury picked up on in their consultation paper, the sort of factual circumstances that have changed that suggest that the financial thresholds in particular are now out of date.
Yeah.
So when they were first introduced, about 2% of Australians would have met the financial thresholds to be a wholesale client or a sophisticated investor. So those thresholds are having $2.5 million in net assets. or $250,000 of income in the past 2 years. They're suggesting that in 2021, the proportion of Australians that would meet that test is 16%. So a really significant increase in terms of who doesn't get the protections under the consumer protections under the Corporations Act.
Yeah. So, Vanessa, is there any data on, you know, what proportion of investors are currently falling under the retail investor test? So outside the wholesale or sophisticated investor test?
Treasury estimated that the retail clients currently make up about 5% of direct investment in managed funds overall, which the rest is obviously then made up by wholesale or institutional clients. But there's obviously a significant exposure of retail investors and probably the largest exposure of retail clients through superannuation funds as well, yeah. That are then investing into products that can or can't be offered to retail investors directly.
But as you say, so 5% seems a pretty low number. Portion of investors take the benefit, receive the benefit of the effectively consumer protection provisions in the corporations law.
Exactly, very low for a regime that's meant to be set up that the wholesale clients are, I guess, the exception to the regulatory rule.
So ASIC has recommended raising the financial thresholds. So what are they? What are the current proposals to increase the limits?
So in the submissions in response to Treasury's consultation on the MIS review, ASIC has also recommended that the assets test be increased from $2.5 million to $4.5 million, which again would account for the indexation since 2001. They're also suggesting that these be adjusted on an annual basis to reflect inflation to prevent another situation that we've got here where over 20 years of inflation hits these numbers at once. Interestingly, ASIC didn't suggest that an individual's primary residence be removed from the assets test, which was something that was contemplated in the consultation paper. Yeah. So that $4.5 million number that they've suggested for the assets test would include the primary residence still.
Yeah. It's interesting the proposing to annually index adjust the tests, because I imagine that's going to make life just a little bit more complicated for fund managers.
No one's really got to the bottom of how this is going to be sort of grandfathered for current wholesale clients, or if it's going to be indexed on an annual basis, how it's going to apply to people who are wholesale 1 year and then not the following year because they were sort of just on the cusp of being wholesale. Yeah. So the continually increasing the thresholds to account for inflation is going to have some sort of grandfathering regime around it as well.
So is the consultation period still open for these changes? Or what's the sort of status of introduction of, or timing, likely timing of introduction of these changes?
So the consultation on Treasury's paper has closed. There were quite a lot of responses received in relation to that consultation paper. In response to the consultation paper, Parliament has now launched the second sort of stage of this, which is the parliamentary inquiry into the tests. So it's turned into a bigger process than was initially contemplated through the Treasury review of the MIS framework.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's not exactly a complex area of law, but it's a massively significant to the industry, retail and institutional generally. So maybe just a final word on, you know, whatever the changes ultimately are, it does sound as though they're going to change. What do you see as like the main implications of the changes when they eventually come through?
So for clients that are raising capital, whether through a fund or a company, it'll become more difficult to raise capital if the investor base that you have is one that isn't sort of clearly institutional and needs to rely on these wholesale client tests and doesn't sort of fall well in excess of the current thresholds. The other thing that it will change is the way that issuers need to structure their products, because if more people are not wholesale and fall into the retail client bracket, we'll then see more issuers needing to launch retail schemes, so registered managed investment schemes, rather than being able to launch wholesale syndicates or funds.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much, Vanessa. Let's leave it there for now, but I guess we'll need to revisit it in a future episode when the changes are finalised. Thanks again, Vanessa. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. As always, please get in touch with us if you have any questions. You can find our details on our website, which is hallandwilcox.com.au, or connect with us on LinkedIn. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, review, or follow our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
This podcast is not legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances.